Happy Easter, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of our podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. And today, being Easter, Andre, Angela, and myself sit down and have a conversation on how to celebrate Easter. Lent is 40 days, and the season of Easter is actually 50 days, and this is something that we often forget. Anyway, before we dive in, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast. As you may have noticed, this podcast is not coming out on our usual Friday. Based on today's topic, we thought it was a little strange to have this episode come out on Good Friday. So we're posting it within the celebrations of Easter, and that actually is our topic for today. We're going to be talking about Easter, and Lent is 40 days, and everyone really knows Lent. You give up something, you do something more, you sacrifice, you struggle, you get to Easter. Everyone celebrates, it's like Christmas, but then the next day, life just goes back to normal. Nothing's changed. Or it's for a lot of us, it seems like nothing's really changed. And I think unbeknownst to a lot of Catholics, the season of Easter, the celebratory part, is 50 days. So 10 whole days longer. And we do nothing with it. So we're going to have myself, Andre, and Angel, we're going to have a conversation on what do we do in the season of Easter? We've gone through Lent. Now we're in Easter. We don't want life just to go back to normal. We want to be renewed in Christ, a new person, a new people. And the season of Easter is the best way to get started with that.
Well, I think it's appropriate. You made that little statement. You said, you know, back to normal. There's nothing about Easter that would lend itself to going back to ordinary time. You know, he is risen from the dead is what they discovered at the empty tomb. And so just, I mean, you know, we talk a lot about that. We have liturgies around it, you know, it's what Mass is all about, is the resurrected Lord, you know, but we know it went through the death and resurrection, the passion, but we're celebrating the resurrection. And so, yeah, it's really important for us to understand that Easter is about a new start on life, meaning everything is brand new. And so this conversation, I think, should be directed towards or focused on what is new. What should be new in not only the season of Easter, but just in the Christian life. And so I think that's where the discussion needs to go. Nothing is going to be the same as it was before. Yeah.
Why isn't it the same?
Well, I mean, you know, just the fact that Jesus destroyed a death, you know, his resurrection, you know, just, you know, the curse of death that came with, you know, Adam and Eve, their disobedience was destroyed. And so you and I are alive, meaning we life is ours. You know, death will not have any kind of hold upon us. We might fall asleep, as the scriptures say, but we will not die. I mean, just that itself should change our perspective on life. You know?
The sting is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sting is gone. Yeah. But how should that change the way we live? That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. To me, you know, if we just look at the virtues that would come out of that, you know, the joy. I mean, if we were in the midst of somebody who died and then they, after 3 days, rise again, we might be shocked at first, but we would be joyful. Wow. You know, he's not dead anymore. He's alive. So I think joy would be one of the virtues that would be, that would just be manifested in the Christian life. I just, you know, I think, and that's obvious, by the way, I'm not saying anything. People go, well, really, joy? Yeah. But I think it's not happening because we don't really understand or haven't allowed the resurrection, our hearts to be captured by that. And so, you know, our hearts not captured by it, we actually will, joy will not be the natural response to it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's loaded, because you're not going to have joy about Jesus rising from the dead for you if you don't know that he died for you, if you don't know that he needed to die for you, mm-hmm. if you don't realize I should die eternally, if you don't know or feel your weakness, your baseness, the need for a savior, and then recognizing his redemption on the cross for the world is also for you, because you desperately need him to fix the problem of your life's decisions, that they have an eternal consequence. And then he dealt with it, and then he defeated it and crushed it and proved it by rising from the dead. And that's my salvation. That's my breath of life. That's my oxygen. That's forever. And I've been rescued from, darkness, let's say. And I have the promise of forever light, forever love, forever all those things. Then you can enter into Easter and be excited about it, be moved by it, remember it again. Know that you're a new creation because you're aware of what the old creation was, what the old you, afflicted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all the ways that made you do things that you regret, and what those repercussions are, and then that it's been healed through the cross. That gratitude brings joy. But if you don't know that, if it's just like it's a spring celebration, it's
Easter bunnies and little
chocolates.
Bunnies and lilies and chocolates. It's so delightful.
So what you're saying, in a way, I mean, obviously, Lent and Easter are two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Because we need Lent. But we tend to, at least I do, and I'm sure that there are many of us, we see Lent as a kind of time to fast and give alms.
Buckle down and be miserable.
Buckle down, which is really important. But really, Lent is the season for us to be aware of our sin. Mm-hmm. Our separation from God, that our need for a savior. So really, Lent is really important, especially the 3 days of Triduum, Thursday and then Good Friday and Saturday. These are opportunities for us to recognize that we need a savior, and sin has separated us from God. Sin has caused the relationship between God and us and the world, the people around us, to be, as Pope Benedict talked about, is disordered, that there is no, we can't actually be to live relationship at the level it's supposed to be because of our sin. So though Lent and the first couple of days of the Triduum are really opportunities to set us up for Easter. That should be, it's not just, okay, now I can eat chocolate. It's like, no, he's, yes, I am a sinner, but I have been forgiven.
There's something to celebrate.
Yeah, there's something.
It's not just celebration. There's someone and something to celebrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate something that matters long term. It's not just like, huzzah, my hockey team won a game. Great.
You're right.
2 days later, has no impact on my life. But what we're celebrating is something that should make a difference. It should change the way we see ourselves, should change the way that we interact with, have relationship with others, and ultimately should change the way that we are in relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, I think resurrection, what it's a testimony. It's Jesus saying, I'm alive, not just in Palestine, but I'm alive now to each and every one of us. Meaning, I have been, I've destroyed death, and I'm fully accessible, not just to the people of my time, but eternally to you and I, because he's risen from the dead. And, the coming of the Holy Spirit, but he's made himself now. He's alive in us. So just thinking about that, that Jesus is alive in us, we are now in Christ. You know, Christ is in us, our hope for glory. That should not only bring joy, but set us free. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, there's, you know, when we think of the death and resurrection of Christ, the death of Christ, Jesus didn't just die for our sins. Actually, Jesus became the model of how we are to live. So not only did he just forgive us, he actually showed us how to live in the fullness with each other and with God. And so he becomes a model. So what he did when he walked amongst us, and even in his passion and his death, that's a model of how we even deal with difficult times in our lives. I mean, we say yes, and then we know that the yes will bring resurrection. We will never be defeated anymore. You know, like we're a victorious. You know, we'll never, I love Psalm 23. You know, even though I go through the valley of death, I fear no evil. You know, a table has been set before me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know, I mean, the Christian life is because Jesus modeled it and made it possible. He showed us how to live. Nothing is impossible for us anymore. I love, and I know I'm just going crazy here, but that's the way we should be at Easter, shouldn't it be? We should be crazy.
Yeah.
But he says, I come to bring you life and life abundant, John 10:10. You know, that should define our Easter. Boy, is that person alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's really the testimony we give to the world.
Yeah, because if, I mean, you go into, for those of you that go to daily mass, you go to daily mass Tuesday after Easter, and the decorations are still up, but it's like, nothing's changed. Like there's no extra life. There's no extra, and like you don't look at the, you know, the other parishioners in the parish, and it's like, wow, they're, you know, that person. There's something that happened to him that's different. Like, he's different today than he was yesterday. We just look around as like, oh, same crowd,
yeah,
same old.
What's really cool though, positive examples would be at our parish, best parish on the planet. Easter Vigil, you know, people have to choose to come to Easter Vigil. It's longer, it's late, it's a big production, right? But so everybody that comes to our parish to Easter Vigil are intentionally choosing to enter into that particular celebration. And so when we have the ringing of the bells at the Gloria and the lights come up, everybody in that church has their own bell. We all know to bring our bells. And the church is loud. Like it's loud. And then when we have our closing hymn, the recessional, and it's usually something very upbeat. We don't have to ask. Everybody just starts doing their bells and everybody's singing at the top of their lungs. And it's really moving. I almost brought the tears thinking about it because everybody in that church knows that Christ defeated death for them. Like that is a celebration that the only angst I have in that celebration is that should not every mass be like that? Right. Mm-hmm. But the reason why that particular mass is able to be like that is it's set up for it. But also that the maybe I might venture to say that the experience of those believers have had a life-changing encounter, that they know that they are a new creation, the ones that will bother to come to a more difficult mass, mm-hmm. a longer, more inconvenient mass.
So what you're saying, which is a really good point, you know, for our listeners, okay, that's great. I understand what you're saying. But how do I actually become, and I dislike this
an
term,
Easter people?
Oh, I like it. But anyway.
Alleluia is our song.
Yeah. Angel.
I know.
Okay.
I'm recording this before Easter. Okay.
You shouldn't have said that. But so they might be saying, okay, well, how do we do that? I agree with everything you're saying. How do I actually start living, you know, as Christians that recognize that Christ is risen from the dead? And I think one thing you said is that, like, maybe during the time of Easter, especially in the, you know, those 8 days, the octave of Easter, basically one mass, maybe we should spend our time focusing in on and recognizing what Jesus did for us. Really, really entering into it. Not solemnly, but rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Like the response of the first apostle, actually the women that went to the tomb, you know, they were just overjoyed by the fact that he was, you know, the tomb was empty.
So what would you, like, practically, what would you recommend to someone
listening?
Well,
you should be praying every day. Well, you should be praying.
Wow, okay.
But in this time, if ever there's a time to take time to pray, yes, you know, during Lent we say, you know, fasting,
prayer, almsgiving.
And so we pray. But if there don't, this is not time to let up. This is a time to enter in. So, you know, in this period, this is the time you should even make more time to pray and spend your time, you know, worshiping and celebrating the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. So I think that's the first thing. But, and then I would like to open up to the second, is you said a choice. They made a concrete choice to be there. And so I think that's another, anyway.
Would you finish your thoughts?
Well, I think we need to celebrate that we've actually, not only has he done this, but I've chosen to enter into that mystery. So I should celebrate my decision to, and God honors that decision.
Right, you know, and remembering it. Remembering, like, if it weren't for him, this is the mess I would be, you know?
Yeah, remembering him, but also celebrating that I've entered into the mystery.
Oh, totally. That, but I get to live this exactly. Free life. I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm not chained. Yeah. I think of Holy Saturday, you know, the scene of Christ going to the souls that are waiting.
The earth is silent.
You know? That there's this, you know, that he's doing a work. He's not just resting. He is, you know, he's doing a work there, going down to free them. And there's this freedom that you're speaking of, that he's strong enough to break all of the bonds of every person, of every sin. He is strong enough to overcome all of that, and the joy that must have been on that day for those souls being released, and the strength of Christ that we can just buy into and just celebrate. Like, he's not just a savior. He's not just the guy that won me heaven. He's strong. Like, he's mighty. And yeah. I love
the church, the church fathers. They often talked about how the resurrection, I think it was St. Athanasius talked a lot about it. When Jesus rose from the dead, it became a testimony. He was making a huge proclamation at that point that he, you know, if we could kind of get into his thoughts, what he was telling the world is, all the promises that I've made, they're true. Meaning, you know, I'm here to, if you're heavy laden, come to me. If you're in bondage, I'm come to set you free. When you come and ask, you shall receive. The impossible has become possible. Death will not have the last word. You're forgiven, healed, restored. I mean, we are hopeful people because nothing is impossible anymore. And Jesus' resurrection is a testimony to that. He's saying, this is true now. I've proven it by rising from the dead, taking on the last enemy.
You're making me think of Ephesians 1, where my favorite part about Ephesians 1, the first, I don't know, 10 verses or whatever, maybe the whole chapter, is I encourage you to circle the word in. In is in there like dozens and dozens of times. And it's always in Christ, in him, in him, in him. It's all these things that in Christ we now have. All the things that he has, we have been made partners with.
Yeah,
co-heirs with him.
Encourage our listeners to go to Ephesians 1 and you'll see there, it's a beautiful passage. You're right, in Christ, we've been set free.
Easter gifts are all over it.
Exactly.
So go and enjoy.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the resurrection, I was thinking of, you know, what do we do in the Easter season? I was thinking of, like, what happened there with the women, especially Mary Magdalene. And I think there's an encounter, a very personal encounter with her and Jesus. And I think that's something to, you know, to pull aside for ourselves and go, like, okay, there's a personal encounter here for me. it's not just the community celebrating, but there's my encounter with the risen Christ and the joy, the wonder. She knows that she was rescued from a life, and he had delivered demons from her. She was someone who was being rescued, and there's an encounter for her. But then she becomes the apostle to the apostles. It's her that goes to tell the disciples, you know, the master is alive and he's risen. And she gets this first glimpse of him in bodily form. And so, first of all, that's a fun thing to think about for women.
But just before, I want you to continue that thought, but she recognized him when he said her name.
Yes.
Like it's very, became relational. Very personal. Yeah. So that's another thing to focus totally. In on in this week or this season of Lent is that I've been called by name.
Mm-hmm.
Like not just I've been called by name. But then continue.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to enter that scene, imagine yourself in the place of Mary Magdalene and you're hearing Christ call your name and then that you recognize him. Like it's just beautiful. But as apostle to the apostles, I think that speaks to like the Easter opportunity of sharing your faith, like proclaiming the risen Christ, which isn't what we really do. Like we talk about Jesus' sufferings in Lent well, but I don't think we talk about his resurrection well in Easter. So who are the even familiar people in my life that I need to be speaking to? I need to be bringing hope, bringing a message of there's freedom for you. He's defeated that. Like, let's pray through that. Like, Christ is big enough to deal with this. Do you know Jesus? Like, there's just so many ways of bringing the power of Christ's resurrection to people during the Easter season. And I don't. I just go back to, like you said, go back to normal or even worse than normal, right? Because what happens in Lent is that you do a lot of sacrifices and then it's Easter Sunday and it's like, great, I don't have to do these anymore. I can do whatever I want. And how many times I've spent Easter day or Easter octave just doing what I want. Now I can do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing what the Lord would want.
Amen.
It's so sucky. Yeah. I hate it.
Oh, and if you're like,
yeah, you're bad at that, aren't you? I notice that. Now I'm just realizing how bad you are in that those 8 days.
It's kind of like a mirror, hey?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mirror.
You just seem to always be doing what you want.
Yes.
Yeah, it's and true. I find for myself, you sacrifice, you give up, and then it's always my turn. I can do what I want. But I have to, like, now it's time to make up for the 40 days that I sacrificed.
Yes. Now it's me time.
Video games. So rather than, you know, before Lent, it's like, video games for a half hour here or there. Now it's like, I got to do video games for like hours every day because, man, I lost so much time. I got to play catch up. And
How much chocolate is eaten and consumed in those 8 days? Yeah. By the way, nothing wrong with chocolate. I'm not dissing chocolate. But the point is that we're just, that's a really good point.
But it's more than the things. Like it's actually my mental space. Like in my mental space is, okay, now it's me time.
Oh, now you're getting existential on us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I'm thinking like, okay, what do I want to do now?
Chocolate?
Okay, I can stop trying hard. So it's not even like.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's not even going back to normal. It's actually worse. It's.
Yeah.
There's a selfishness there that wasn't there before. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's Easter supposed to be the exact opposite. You know, I mean, Easter now he's risen. I no longer live for myself, but for Christ who died for me. I mean, mm-hmm. This is when the relationship is supposed to be put in right order. So that's a really good point. So maybe another principle that should guide our Easter is not that we don't eat chocolate, but like Anja has said, is that no, now we actually are to live even higher state of freedom and relationship. So that's why I think the prayer in Easter might be a really good step forward, is that we should intensify our prayer, but it shouldn't be a lamenting prayer. It should be
a joyful praising God.
Yeah.
I was thinking like people make a lot of analogies to like the cross being having nuptial meaning, that Christ is giving his life so that we could have new life and all of these things. Okay, I can dig it. But then like Easter is really should be the honeymoon.
8 days.
So if you have a hunt, like the 7-day Jewish wedding, like there's a honeymoon. So if we went for our honeymoon and then you're like, finally, all the wedding prep is done. We got married. Now I can have me time. would be so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this should be the time to just be so
the other
enjoy.
Center.
Like, yeah, okay, now yeah. we got the free, we're at an all inclusive and we're just going to enjoy each other's company and have a blast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy
yeah.
it all. Sit in the wonder of it all.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah. And one of the things that makes, just as you were mentioning that, like the one thing that makes the honeymoon so special is you spend the entire honeymoon focused on the other person. Like you're not really focused on yourself that much. And that's where like it, when you die to yourself, like you, mm-hmm. you get new life when you die to yourself. And I think there, yeah. that analogy is really true.
Yeah. yeah. It's yeah. that's a really good point, but it's not focusing on the other person with a Lenten mentality, meaning, no. you know, like I have to give to that person because it's them and I'm going to sacrifice myself. It's actually a delighting. You're
yeah,
looking
there's
at
a wonder and all yeah, like you're mine. Going, oh, yeah. You're mine. You don't yes. have to go home today
exactly.
at the end of the night. Like
exactly.
we get to spend all our time together. Yeah. You're mine. Like that. There's a wonder and awe and like, let's just
enjoy each
have
other.
A blast. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So how are ways that you can actually have a blast for the 8 days of Easter? Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's get crazy. What would be some things you could do to really celebrate? Like eating is a really good one, but eating with the intention that this is a celebration, mm-hmm. not to fill my empty gut, but actually, you know what? All this week, we are going to have special meals as a celebration.
Yeah.
And so we're going to acknowledge this is celebrating the resurrection of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So it's really a celebration. It's not just, okay, now I can eat lots, you know? So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And I think building off of that, I know my family does this is, doing meals or having like doing things that you don't do any other time of year. So to really emphasize that this is different, this is special and you look forward to it. So, my family, we have a special tradition. We have a traditional Slovenian meal on Easter that we never have any other time of year.
Slovenian and meal. I've never had a Slovenian meal.
So all the foods are very symbolic to different parts of the passion and the resurrection. We all look forward to that because we know this, like, and we celebrate in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I know for myself, there's often times where it's like, yeah, I'm going to celebrate with this, you know, just finishing Exodus 90. So usually on my days, the Sunday where I can relax one thing, it's I'll have a beer. And there's a celebration in that.
But
I think the thing to make it extra special is to celebrate it with something you never have any other time of the year. And it really drives home that this is special. This is unique. There's something here that is separate from the normal life,
yeah.
so to speak.
I think you really bring up a good point. And it's going back to Anja's existential kind of description
so
of is when you do have a beer. By the way, I'm having a cigar and some scotch with my sons who did Exodus, and they couldn't do it for 60 days. So we're going
90.
To have 90. Okay. Seemed like 60. No, it's
right.
for them, it felt yeah. like 900.
Yeah. But we're going to do it not because, oh, now I can have a cigar. I couldn't have it before. And I could, but it's actually what I'm going to do based on what we're talking here is I'm going to say, okay, sons, this is a celebration, not you made it through the 90 days. This is a celebration that Christ is risen from the dead and your heart was prepared to receive that. And so let's celebrate, you know. I got scotch from Scotland because I was there about a month ago, bought 3 bottles of scotch. And you know what? Before
Customs is listening to you because
yeah.
they have spies.
We found ways. But you know, before I went to Scotland, I wasn't even a scotch drinker. Now I just love scotch and I don't even know, you know, it's a conversion that I've had.
You were evangelized by a certain
yeah.
bishop.
Yeah. Bishop
on that.
Scotch.
Bishop Scotch, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, so that's one thing is I think celebrating with intention, not just mm-hmm. celebrating I can eat more, I can binge, but actually celebrate the resurrection. So bring it to mind, you know, let everyone around the table know. You know, even when you go to into you know, a restaurant and the server comes up and say, you know what, I'm going to have a dessert because it's Easter, Christ is risen from the dead. And just leave it at that. You know, just it's almost like uncontained celebration.
Yeah, not just one dessert, 2 desserts. Let's,
oh,
let's
yes.
double dizzle.
Double
dizzle
it up. Yeah, I think there's sharing your testimony. That could be great. Andre always jokes at the dinner table. Okay, everybody go around, share your testimony, which creates a lot of moaning and groaning. And no one ever does it.
I'm just doing it, trying to be...
trying to be an annoying dad. Yeah. But, I mean, I would be...
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. He's got do you want to start your list of things?
I've got that one down, the annoying dad.
Yeah, that's really good. Anyways, but that might actually, for
but
once...
But it's endearing, by the way. I just want you to know my children look at me and they go, I love my dad. Well, he's so annoying.
It's... Anyway.
I do it well.
Can you stop interrupting
me?
Okay, good.
Kind of like this.
So he's a lot like this at home. This is really real. Anyways, this might be the one time that it'd be worth doing at a table is people actually sharing their testimony to celebrate Easter. Because this is... I'm a new creation because I will rise from the dead because he rose from the dead. I think your prayer times too can take just a slight pivot instead of being like super examine oriented or reflective on progress. It would be just a little bit of like coasting in a good way. It's kind of like when you're you build up certain momentum and then you can just like coast in the fumes of it. It's just to coast in that and
just fun.
Like talk to the Lord and just like revel in the wonders that he's done.
Yeah.
Like walk through since your conversion, like the blessings, just count the blessings of what he's done, the graces, the charisms, the encounters that you've had. Like how many, like sometimes I like to sit and go like, what are my most richest encounters with the Lord? And I just walk through them and write them down. It's like, okay, wow, those were really huge. Those were really momentous and like, thank you, Lord, for how rich it is. And you kind of enter back into it. So I think just all of that wonder and awe.
Yeah, I think the readings serve that well because the readings is not talking about, the martyrdom of Stephen. They're actually, by the way, it's beautiful what he did. So not saying that's bad news, but it's really just talking about the good news. I mean, they're celebrating because of the resurrection and they're realizing their eyes are being opened, Emmaus, there's a conversion that happens there and a realization of what's going on. So it's all good news stories. And the Psalms are awesome, by the way, just to let you know, the Psalms are awesome. And the first reading, they're all about the promises being realized. So if you really want to enter into what you're talking about in your prayer is go to the readings, because they serve that kind of good news, lighthearted, fun prayer life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lighthearted, fun prayer life in scripture?
I don't know why.
Quote that chapter verse.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I was thinking what we do read in the scriptures is that during those 50 days that Jesus appeared to more than 500, like there's just these, he appeared here, appeared there. Like he was just like making these like cameo appearances all over the place for 50 days. He was with them. He ate with them. They had these experiences. So I think for us, for our 50 days, we should expect
God to
the
appear.
Lord to encounter us. Like let's go looking for him. Let's wait for him to like pop into the scene because this is how he lived Easter. So if we had a Easter hope, maybe we could have the I guess eyes of faith to expect him to show up.
Yeah.
Because he is the risen Lord. And
so maybe that would be another practical thing is the 50 days of Easter, wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, I expect you to show up today. That's what you did during Easter. I'm expecting you to show up, meaning you are going to come to me today and go looking for that and expect it and have a sense of anticipation. How contagious that would be if we are people that went through life kind of, you know what, I'm going to have an encounter today. God is going to speak to me in my prayer life or just my relationships or my job or everything. So you're expecting, you're looking, you're searching, and then when it comes, you could just, well, there it is, an answered prayer or a beautiful encounter, anyway, lots of good things could happen when we expect God to show up today.
Yeah, and I think one more practical thing to do is going back to Ephesians 1, where he circled at times like in Christ, in him, all the promises he's making. Because Easter is a time of like it's new life, new celebration, we're a new creation. It's a perfect time in our prayer life to counter blessings, what has the Lord done for us, but then also go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm a new creation in you. What, like, give me a new life, like go to him and ask for the, like, ask for the presence, ask for, like, ask him to reveal how you're a new life and where yeah. he, where he wants to take you mm-hmm. in that.
Yeah.
Cause it's not like, oh, new life. All right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exercising your prayer might be to, focus in on one promise that has been realized now that Christ has risen from the dead. So it might be freedom. Okay, what does freedom mean for me? Or it might be healing. Okay, what does healing mean for me? So maybe, yeah, that might be a good 8-day exercise, is looking at what the promises are, and circle them and meditate on, wow, what does it mean for me to be free? Rather than me meditate on, oh, I'm a sinner. How am I a sinner? You know, you're saying, no, you said I'm free. Okay, how am I free?
Mm-hmm.
And 50 days of actually looking at the blessings, the gifts, the wonder, the awe, the freedom. Like, it's 50 days to think about it. And we barely do it for the 8, right? But it's 50 days. We're supposed to be like just, caught up in the wonder and awe of that resurrection. Got to put a little shout out and a really practical thing. One of our, staff women created this great Easter devotional called Arise. And if you go to www.thegoodsoil.com, the spelt out, the good soil, it's going to come right into your inbox. And it's real women writing stories related to scripture on living out that Easter reality of being brought alive again, called Arise. So that's a nice way of keeping in the theme of Easter for 50 whole days. I'm sure men would also be able to sign up for it, but it definitely has feminine themes. So.
When does that begin? Or is it
Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday? You can register and get in.
Like, that's excellent.
And even if you start a little late, you just catch up, but it's going to be really good and really real.
Is so, 50, by the way, for the church, 50 is a jubilee, isn't it? So in a way, the 50 days, the Lord is inviting us to the incarnate of the Jubilee.
Right. Meaning, and what does Jubilee mean?
Yeah. It's celebration. It's set free. It's, you know.
Well, it's the canceling of debt.
Yeah. Amen.
It's the canceling of debt. The debts are canceled. Everything's been like your debts are cleared and now you're going to start fresh. You have a brand new life and let's celebrate. It's the year of Jubilee. The captives have been set free. Jesus said he would do that in the synagogue in Capernaum. That I have come, he quoted Isaiah, right? That I've come to set the captives free. It's a year of Jubilee. This is the time of the Lord's favor. So Easter is a time of favor. It's the time of Jubilee in these 50 days. So we've been set free. Our debts are canceled. We are, someone has, through God's plan, a Jubilee has been pronounced for our life. And we get it every year.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is like, I'm not just saying this, but I'm really looking forward to what is going to happen over the next 50 days. I just have a sense of anticipation of what God is going to do. But, you know, I was thinking of, you know, often the talk of Lent. And by the way, I have a love-hate relationship with Lent. I hate giving stuff up, but I love the fact that I have an opportunity to really enter into that suffering, okay? But we often look at Lent and we say, you know, I encountered God during this time. There's a change that happened, and I went somewhere where I hadn't went before. And so Lent kind of defines our life in a way. Well, Easter should do the exact same thing. We should be, after 50 days, we should be able to stand up and say, guess what? You know, this Easter, this is what changed in my life. And, you know, these are the promises that I am now entering into, that they've come alive in me. And so I guess I'm inviting our listeners, even right now at the end of this, we're kind of winding this podcast down. Let's just pray. Let's just take a moment and pray and ask Jesus, welcome Jesus into our lives and ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to enter into the unrestrained promises that have been given to us at the resurrection. So let's just finish in a short little prayer and ask him for that. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I invite everyone just to allow this moment to be a moment of encounter of the resurrection. the resurrected Christ. And so, Jesus, I invite you now to come into my life. Just come and be alive in me. Set me free. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give me the grace and the reminder and the revelation that we are people that believe and live in the life of Christ who is risen from the dead. So give us the grace to live in that fully, that year of Jubilee. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you to come. And Father, I invite you to reveal us as your sons and your daughters. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Christ is risen from the dead.
Thanks for joining us today for our conversation around the Easter season. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, give us a rate and review on iTunes, and that'll help us to reach new audiences. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.